Chapter 4. Shiban. We knew they would make a fight of it in the end. Once there was nowhere left for them to run, they turned and faced us. They had chosen a good place to make their stand, high in Chondax's northern hemisphere. The endless white plains eventually crumpled into a maze of ravines and jagged peaks, a scar on the open face of the world that was visible from space. We had never penetrated far into that region, opting to clear the orcs from the plains first. It was natural defensive terrain, hard to enter, easy to hide in. When our Auspex operators had seen it from orbit, they had called it Tekhazi, the Grinder. I think that was their idea of a joke. I stood in the saddle, looking out at the first of the many cliffs rising up against the northern horizon. I could see long trails of smoke rising from the heart of the rock cluster. I raised magnoculars to my eyes and zoomed in. Metal artifacts had been placed amid the stone, glinting in the bright sunlight. The orcs had built walls across narrow ravine entrances, using materials stripped from their own vehicles. Knowing that they would not need them again, they had turned their only means of movement into their only means of defense. I approved of that. "They are well positioned," I said, scanning across the fortifications.
"They are," said Torgon, standing beside me and also using magnoculars.
Our two brotherhoods spread out behind us in their assault formations, waiting for the order to advance.
"I see fixed weapons. They've got numbers."
I swept my view across to the nearest of the ravine mouths facing us. Walls were clearly visible, placed further back between the jaws of the ravine and strung across the gully floor in a line of metal panels and bolted struts. I could see orcs patrolling along the top of them. As Torgon had noted, there were weapon towers lodged higher up the ravine slopes.
"This will be difficult," I said.
Torgon laughed.
"It will, Shiban."
In the days since we had joined forces, I had not found it easy to understand Torgon. Sometimes he would laugh, and I would not know why. Sometimes I would laugh, and he would look at me strangely. He was a good warrior, and I think we both respected one another when it came to blades. We had destroyed two more convoys before we had arrived at the Grinder, and I had seen at first hand how his brotherhood fought. They were more structured than we were. I rarely gave my brothers orders once an engagement started. I trusted them to look after themselves. Torgon gave his warriors orders all the time, and they followed them instantly. They used speed, just as we did, but were quicker to adopt fire positions when the combat became more static. Some tactics I never saw them adopt. They never pulled back, feigning retreat in order to draw out the enemy.
"We don't retreat," he had said.
"It is effective," I had replied.
"More effective to let them know you'll never do it," he had said, smiling. "When the Lunar Wolves go to war, the enemy knows they'll never stop coming forward, all the time, wave after wave until it's over. It's a powerful reputation to have."
I could hardly argue against the record of the War Master's Legion. I had seen them fight. They were impressive. So, as I scanned the Greenskins' defences, I had little idea what Torgon would propose. I feared that he would advocate waiting until other Mingan reached our position, and I did not relish disputing with him. I wished to maintain our momentum, since I knew that other brotherhoods would already be entering combat on the far sides of the huge ravine complex. If we were to gain the honour of fighting alongside the Khargan, who would surely be at the heart of the action, then we would have to remain at the forefront of the closing circle.
"I do not wish to wait," I said firmly, putting my magnoculars down and looking at Torgon. "We can break them."
Torgon did not reply immediately. He continued looking out at the distant cliff faces, scanning for weaknesses. Eventually, he stopped and looked at me. He grinned. I had seen that grin before. It was one of the few gestures we shared. He grinned before he entered battle just as I did.
"I think you're right, brother," he said. We came in hard, over on the left flank of our target, building quickly to attack speed, burning across the plains in close-packed squadrons. I crouched low in the saddle, gripping the controls of my mount, feeling the animal grind of the engines, the hard vibrations of the blazing thrusters, the violent urgings of the caged machine spirit. My brothers spread out on either side of me, speeding across the white earth in perfect formation. The ravine entrance we had chosen was narrow, 200 meters across as the Auspex read it, and clogged with defenders. We skirted wide, using the cliffs jutting out on either side of its jaws to mask our approach. I felt my braided hair whip against my shoulder guards. We ate up the ground, devouring it, tearing it up in a blaze of furious motion. We had timed our run to coincide with the rising of the third sun. As it emerged behind us, flaring silver, blinding the defenders to our advance, I cried out to greet it. "For the Kurgan!" I roared. "For the Kurgan!" came the thunderous, rapturous response. I relished that. 500 of us on the charge, thundering into range at searing velocity, wreathed in a dazzling corona of silver and gold, our jetpacks bucking and swerving. I saw Jochi alongside me, hurling out battle cries in Korchin, his eyes alive with bloodlust. Batu, Hasi, the rest of my Mingan Keshig, they all hunkered forward, all straining at the leash. The first volleys of defensive fire snapped and bounced around us, a motley rain of solid rounds and crude energy bolts. We weaved amongst them, goading our jetbikes ever faster, glorying in their superb poise, rush and tilt. The jutting cliffs zoomed up to meet us. We came around, leaning heavily, scraping the ground before racing into the mouth of the valley beyond. We cleared the cover of the cliffs, and our senses were overrun by a crashing, coruscating storm of incoming fire. A hurricane of projectiles spiraled out of the walls ahead of us, blowing up in our faces and hurling bikes end over end. A rider close to me took a direct hit. His mount disintegrated, ripped apart in a shower of metal and promethium, flying crazily across the ravine and slamming into the ground in a smear of flame and debris. Warriors were hurled from their saddles, had holes punched through their armor, were sent careering into the rock walls where they exploded in massive blooming fireballs. None of us slowed. We hurtled down the ravine, maintaining attack speed, ducking and swaying around the lines of fire, rising above it to widen the field before plunging back down to ground level and letting it streak over our heads. I poured on more power, feeling my bike shudder with the strain. The land around was a mess of streaked blurred white. Only the metal walls ahead remained in focus. I felt shots graze against my bike's forward armor, nearly throwing me out of line. More of my brothers went down, as the torrent of flak and shrapnel took them. The walls screamed closer. I saw orcs leaping about on top of them, waving their weapons and roaring challenges. Gun towers zeroed in on us, swiveling to let loose before we hit them. We opened up. A pounding cacophony of heavy bolter fire snarled out, filling the ravine with a ragged hail of ruinous, withering destruction. The walls disappeared behind bursting clouds of explosive devastation. Metal plates snapped and dented, blowing apart in a hail of splinters. I saw greenskins thrown high into the air, their bodies shredded open by the flood of shells. Just then, as he had promised they would, Torgun's heavy support opened fire. His auxiliary squads had broken off, making the most of the screen of our frontal assault and securing high ground on either side of the ravine. They possessed tools of devastation that we didn't carry. Las cannons, missile launchers, barrel-cycling autocannons, even an esoteric beam weapon they called a Volkite culverin, something I had never seen before. Their barrage was devastating, igniting the air around it, cracking into the barrier ahead of us and dousing it in a cataract of raging, swimming energy. Huge rents were blown open. Panels, struts, and spars went spinning, tearing through the curtains of flame. Missiles streaked in, angling through the storm of destruction, whistling past us and crashing into the burning orc lines beyond. Neon-bright spears of energy snapped and fizzed, sending lurid glows racing along the rock walls. I picked my target, aiming for a fire-rimmed breach in the walls. I hurtled through the inferno towards it, feeling sheets of flame sweep and shimmer across me.
I swung over almost to the horizontal, letting an orc missile whine past. Then I rocked back upright, kicked in a final boost, and shot clean through the ragged gap in the walls. Something must have hit me as I burst through the defences. I felt a thud somewhere under the bike's undercarriage, and it spun away hard right. I grappled with the controls, barely arresting a fatal spin. The world slurred around me, rocking and spiralling. I could hear other jetbikes streak through the gouges in the walls and turn their heavy bolters upon the defenders. I had a brief glimpse of the ravine on the far side, studded with ramshackle barricades and choke points, crawling with whole gangs of orcs, all of them teeming with brutish fury. Gunfire, thick and incessant, crisscrossed the narrow defile, broken by airborne bursts and flak clouds. I swung around, diving under a flurry of incoming rounds before gunning my faltering drive unit again. Trailing smoke, my bike lurched and bucked before it gave out completely, throwing me into a sharp dive. The rocky ground rushed toward me in a sickening plummet. I leapt, hurling myself from the saddle. I hit the ground hard and rolled away, hearing the sharp crack of my bike impacting on the ravine floor, followed by the whoosh and bang of its fuel tanks going up. I jumped to my feet, as wreckage rained down around me, my glaive already poised. I'd come about 200 meters beyond the walls. I could see the barrier from the other side, the scaffolding collapsing, the ammo lifters going up like torches, the shuddering impacts from tor guns punishing long-range fire. Bodies were everywhere, falling from the tottering parapets, swarming over the rock. The air was dense with an incredible fog of noise, screams, bellows, jet bike engines throttling up, cannons discharging. Greenskins were already homing in, knots of them, firing at me from makeshift carbines and pistols and lumbering to the charge. I felt the ping and crack of the solid rounds as they ricocheted from my armor. I heard their bestial throaty war challenges. I smelled the stench of their anger. I flicked the Guandao's energy field on, feeling the shaft tremble as it powered up. By the time they closed on me, I was more than ready. I whipped my upper body round, punching out with the Guandao. The crackling edge dug deep into the leading orc's face, slicing open its flesh and sending the creature staggering backwards in a bloody flailing froth. Another threw a wild hack with a cleaver, biting into my pauldron but failing to penetrate the ceramite. I plunged my glaive into its stomach, twisting it round, liquefying the hard flesh. More piled in, and I tore through them, spinning and stabbing. The Guandao sang in my hands, spiralling around me in a glistening net of sparkling power. Greenskins were thrown clear, their armour cracked, their bodies broken. I barely heard the thunder and rush of the battle around me. My mind drilled down to the core of combat, and I lost myself in it, unaware of the flaming sky above me, unaware of the scores of jet bikes tearing past with their weapons blazing. I rotated, swiping a greenskin's head clean off, then darted back, cracking the heel of the Guandao into the skull of another. I eviscerated, gouged, ripped, snapped and blinded, boosted by my armor, my strength, my vicious artistry. One of them, a huge tusked monster with rusty iron pauldrons, threw itself bodily at me, somehow evading my blade and getting under my guard. We collided with a jarring thud, and both sprawled to the ground. The creature landed on top of me, and the stink of it clogged in my nostrils. It butted my face, and the force of the blow cracked my head back. My vision swam, and I saw blood wash across my eyes. I was pinned. I tried to bring the glaive, still clutched in my left hand, around to dig into the monster's back. It saw the movement and twisted to block it with its own weapon, a spiked maul already covered in a slick of blood. The Guandao's energy field detonated on contact, shattering the maul head in a shower of metal fragments, lacerating both of us. The greenskin jerked back up, loosening its grip, clawing at its eyes and bellowing with pain. With a huge heave, I pushed it clear and swung the glaive round in a whiplash figure, aiming for the stomach. The blade cut deep, driving between armor plates and severing the orc down to the spine. I wrenched the shaft back out, hauling hard with both hands. The monster, bisected,
its torso disintegrating in a sucking swamp of ripped muscle, blood, and bone. I heard another movement from behind me, and whirled around, primed to swing again.
Jochi stood there,
his armor streaked with red, his bolter in hand, surrounded by heaps of orc corpses. Behind him I could see the ramshackle barrier coming down, slowly toppling as the fires ripped through it. My brothers were everywhere, harrying, pursuing, slaying, tearing like vengeful ghosts through the teeming hordes.
Oh, this is good hunting, my Khan,
Jochi observed, laughing heartily. I joined him in his mirth, feeling the cuts across my face open up.
I'm not done yet,
I shouted, shaking the blood from my blade, turning to find more prey. Jetbikes shot overhead, powered onwards by whooping, shrieking riders. Under their wheeling shadows, we launched back into the fight. The battle in the ravine did not let up once the walls had been broken. More barriers had been strung across the winding gorges ahead, clogging the routes leading deeper into the interior of the grinder. Greenskins had dug themselves in wherever they could. They poured out of their refuges, lurching at us in waves, scrambling over the rocky ravine floor in their haste to blood us. We were dragged deep into melee combat, assailed from all sides as we cut our way down the long defiles and gulches. Many of my brothers remained mounted, sweeping up and down the long valley and taking out enemy fire positions with a speed the defenders could not match. Others advanced on foot, as I did, racing to bring combat to the greenskins. When we got in close, we smelled the blood and sweat on our prey. We heard their broken roars and felt the tremors of their massed tread. Even as we cut them down, we relished their skill and their savage bravery, appreciating what superlative creatures we were purging from existence. Jochi had been right. When the last greenskin was gone, it would be a sad day. My only concern was Torgon's slow advance. We surged onwards, punching our way far up the gorge, torching every barricade we came across and slaying freely. I had expected Torgon's brotherhood to be close behind us. We would have welcomed the cover of their heavy weapons squads. We began to lose them. They needed to be quicker. After fighting our way to the first intersection in the twisting ravine system, I withdrew from the combat, letting my warriors take the fight to the enemy.
My brother!
I shouted into the vox, using the channel that Torgon and I had designated for private messages between us.
What keeps you? Are you sleeping? We have them on the run.
I had intended my speech to be light, just as I always spoke when in the midst of battle. Perhaps I might even have laughed a little. Torgon's reply startled me.
What are you doing?
He responded. Even over the comlink, I could hear the anger in his voice.
Consolidate your position, Captain. You're getting strung out. I will not match this pace. We have not secured our entry points.
I looked around me. The battle was chaotic and free-flowing, as battles always were. The horde of orcs swelled down the ravine floor, huge and sprawling, met by a thin line of White Scars warriors, tearing at them with furious energy. We had already been slowed. We had to break them quickly, to rush at them before they could gain momentum, to hurl them back again and again. The task was urgent and could not wait. The Khargan would be advancing quickly toward the heart of the grinder. Other brotherhoods would be racing to meet up with him. I dreaded being left behind.
We are advancing, I said.
I reported this as a matter of fact, and no longer smiled as I spoke.
We must advance. We are breaking them. You cannot. Hold your position, do you hear me? Hold your position.
The tone of command astonished me. For a moment, I struggled to find the words to respond.
We are advancing, I repeated.
There was no alternative. He had to understand that. Torgon didn't reply. I heard him curse at the other end of the link and just made out the muffled crack of munitions going off in the background. Then he terminated the connection. Jochi, who had been fighting close by, came up to me, looking quizzical.
A problem, my Khan?
He asked. I did not reply immediately. I was troubled. I considered ordering my warriors to pull back,
to consolidate our position and wait for the Terrans to reach us. That would have maintained the harmony between us, which I was loath to break. We were brothers, he and I. The thought of strife between brothers was repellent. Then I looked out across the ravine and saw the carnage we were creating. I saw my Mingan in the full splendor of their unrivaled ferocity. I saw my warriors fighting as they had been created to fight, with passion, with freedom. There is no problem, I said, marching past Jochi and back towards combat. We break them. We fought on. As the suns began to sink, we fought. Once the light failed, turning the ravines into pools of oily darkness, we fought. We donned our helms and used our night vision prey sight to hunt them down, always advancing, always rushing them. They resisted ferociously. Not since Ulanor had I seen them fight a battle like it. They staged rallies, orchestrated ambushes, hurled suicide fighters right into our midst. Every barricade cost us. Every gun pit took lives before we could clear it out. We maintained the punishing pace, never letting them regroup, never letting ourselves slow. Our blood mingled with theirs. Their ravines slopped with it, turning the pale dust a deep red. In the cold hour before dawn, when all three suns were still below the horizon, I ordered my brothers to halt at last. We were deep into the grinder by then, surrounded by jumbled overhanging terrain of ever deeper gorges and rising shelves of white rock. Curtains of fire streamed at us from all directions. Groups of greenskins had looped around, stealing back through the treacherous country and spilling into territory we had already won. They bellowed at us from the shadows. Cries echoed from the surrounding cliffs, amplifying and distorting. It sounded like the land itself was goading us. I remembered Torgon's admonishment. I considered the possibility that he had been right, and that my eagerness to advance had compromised us. His brotherhood was still a long way from our position, making steady but measured progress towards us. I could not shake the suspicion that he was moving deliberately slowly. "We will halt here," I ordered, conveying the command to Jochi and Batu to relay to the others. "At first light, we renew the attack." The site I chose was the closest thing in the vicinity to a defensive bastion. A wide plateau of rock rose up from the tumbled, broken landscape, offering a commanding position over the terrain around it. Its sides were sheer on three sides, while the fourth dissolved into a shattered slope of cracked rock and scree. It was not perfect. We were still overlooked by peaks on the far side of the ravine, and there was precious little cover on the plateau itself. Still, it gave us the chance to stem our growing losses, to bring some shape back into the battle. We fought our way to the plateau, scrambling up plunging rents in the rock, slipping and sliding on the loose stone. Once we had seized it, we dug ourselves in along the edges, giving us firing angles into the gorges below. I sent our surviving squadrons of jetbikes after the main static firebases, but did not permit them to go further once they had destroyed their targets. As I had known they would, the greenskins saw our halt as weakness. They poured toward us, busting out from hidden caches and up from tunnels we had not properly destroyed. They surged up the steep sides of the plateau, clambering over one another in their eagerness to get at us. They were like an army of ghouls, their skin almost black in the gloom, their eyes burning red. From then on, we were hard-pressed. Hemmed in, we fought like they did, ferociously, artlessly, brutally. They clambered up. We hewed them down. They clawed at us, dragging any warriors who broke formation into their pits of roaring horror. We shot and stabbed at them, sending their flailing bodies cartwheeling away into the darkness. We hurled grenades into their splayed maws, recoiling as their torsos blew open in shreds of flying sinew. They surrounded us, turning the plateau into a lone island of sanity amidst a heaving storm swell of Xenos blood mania. I remained at the forefront, where the combat was heaviest, wielding my guandao two-handed, carving through greenskin flesh as if it were a single, vast, amorphous organism.
I felt my heart pumping hard, my arm muscles searing with pain. Sweat slicked my face under my helm, trickling down the underside of my gorget. They ran at our blades, using their bodies to wear us out, to slow us down, to punch gaps for others to crash through. Their bravery was phenomenal. Their strength was immense. Their commitment was total. We were surrounded. We were outnumbered. Such a thing was rare for us. We did not let ourselves get pinned down often. Our legion had never been chosen for missions where objectives had to be held for extended periods, not like the Dur Iron Warriors or the pious Golden Imperial Fists. We had always looked down on such garrison work and pitied those who were condemned to it. I could not imagine us ever distinguishing ourselves in warfare of that sort, under siege, fighting with our backs to the wall as the skies burned above us. For all that, we were Legiones Astartes. We fought with the precision and resolve of our long conditioning. We never yielded. We paid for that bastion on Chondax with our blood, gripping on tight to the handhold, gritting our teeth and digging in deep. When one of us fell, we exacted a toll of vengeance, closing ranks and ratcheting the already staggering violence up a further notch. I believe we could have held out there indefinitely, letting the greenskin waves crash against us until they were exhausted and we could move on again. As it was, that supposition was not tested. I saw the streaks of missiles spin out of the night, slamming into the rear flanks of the enemy and breaking the momentum of their advance. I saw the bloated beams of las cannons snap out in massed volleys, silently reaping their dreadful toll. I heard the low growl of heavy bolters and autocannons, loosed in rolling, dense barrages. I looked up, out across the seething mass of alien bodies, and saw glints of white and gold moving up the ravine from the south. Gunfire flashed, jetbike thrusters roared into life. I regarded the development with mixed emotions. Relief, certainly, but also annoyance. Torgon had reached our position at last. By the time the first shafts of dawn light filtered down the ravines, the greenskins were dead or fleeing. For the first time, we let the survivors go. We had enough on our hands. Equipment to salvage, armor to repair, the wounded to get back into fighting shape. The plateau looked desolate in the growing sun's light. A hazy landscape of corpses and smoldering jetbike carcasses. I did not see Torgon for a while, even after his brotherhood had joined us there. I had much to detain me, and I was not eager to speak to him. I busied myself with my own warriors, working hard to get them ready for war again. Despite everything, I was keen to keep advancing. I could see grey columns of smoke rising up ahead of us, and knew that the circle around the orcs was closing fast. I was still looking north, trying to gauge the best route for the advance, when Torgon finally came to me. I turned, sensing his presence before I saw him. He was wearing his helm, so I could not read his expression. I assumed he was angry. When he spoke, his voice was tight but resigned. "I don't want to fight with you, Shaban," he said wearily. "Nor I with you," I said. "You should have listened." I found the questioning of my tactics a novel experience. Torgon was within his rights to do so, of course, but it wore at my pride as Khan, and I could not think of an adequate response. "Just tell me this," he said. "Why does it matter to you so much?"
"Why does what matter?" I asked.
"To reach the Khargan. Why are you determined to do this, putting our formations, our warriors, in jeopardy? We don't even know he's on the planet. Tell me. Help me understand."
His words surprised me. I knew that Torgon was more cautious than I was, that his way of war was different. It had not occurred to me that he did not place importance on fighting alongside the greatest of us.
"How can you not wish for it?" I asked.
I actually felt sorry for Torgon then. I assumed that he must have missed something in his ascension, or perhaps forgotten it. He called himself a White Scar. I wondered if the name meant any more to him than his legion designation. For me, for my brotherhood, it was everything. I felt I had to try to explain, even if my hopes of making myself clear were not high. "War is not a tool, my brother," I said. "War is life. We have been elevated into it. We have become it. When the galaxy is finally cleansed of danger, our time will have ended. A brief time, a speck of gold on the face of the universe. We must cherish what we have. We must fight in the way we were born to fight, to make art of it, to celebrate the nature given to us." I spoke fervently. I believed those things. I still do. "I saw him fight once from a distance," I said. "I have never forgotten it. Even from that one glimpse, I saw a possibility of perfection. Each of us has a part of that perfection within us. I long to witness it again, to see it close at hand, to learn from it, to become it." Torgon's blood-stained helm gazed back at me blankly. "What else is there for us, brother?" I asked. "We are not building a future for ourselves. We are creating an empire for others. These warlike things, these grand, terrible inspirations, they are all that we have." Still, Torgon said nothing. "The future will be otherwise," I said. "For now, though, for us, there is only war. We must live it." Torgon shook his head in disbelief. "I see they breed poets on Chogoris as well as warriors," he said. I could not tell whether he was mocking me. "We do not distinguish between them," I said. "Another strange habit," he said. Then he reached up and unfastened the seals on his helm. I heard the locks hiss as they were undone. He twisted the helm off and maglocked it to his armor. Once we were looking with our own eyes, it was easier to understand one another. I do not think my words had done much to convince him. "I do not fight in the way you do, Shaban," he said. "Perhaps I do not even fight for the same things that you do. But we are both of the Fifth Legion. We must look for common ground." Torgon looked up, past me and into the north. That was where he was. That was where he was fighting. "We must be at the forefront of the assault even now," Torgon said. "How soon can your brothers be made ready?" "They already are," I said. "Then we travel together," said Torgon, his expression somber. "In unison. But I will not slow you." In the morning light, lit only by one sun, his skin looked darker than before, almost like one of us. He had conceded a lot already. I could appreciate that. "We will find him, brother," he said. "If he is there to be found, then we will find him."